We always do them on Sundays. We never really get a chance to really break the word of God down because of the time restraint is against us. But I don't know how many of you have noticed it, but recently a lot of our messages have been about what type of relationship do we have with God. Amen. For one of we thank God for my wife and her health and strength and for God keeping her through her troubled times. Not that people like that. She can give her own testimony. Through her troubled times. Just thank God that He is a keeper. Yes. We thank God for all of you. Amen. Because without you there will be no agape. Amen. What I like about God is what the Bible says, every member of the body is the equal. We don't have big members and little members. We all one member, and as far as Christ is concerned, and for that we are so grateful. Amen. We just thank God for being a keeper. And you know, the devil is on a rampage.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, he used to read about shooting dead whales. While we were in Georgia, we heard that there was a shooting at Colony Center. Amen. And then this past week, there was a shooting right in Troy. So the devil has no respect of person. So if you ever are something that we ever needed the Lord before, be sure to meet him when. Now, today is more so than any time in the history of mankind, the church needs the Lord. I mean, things are happening all around you, all near you, across the street, amen, next to your family members, all kind of stuff is going on. But I just thank God I'm saved. Because I'm saved, God is a keeper. Amen. So as I said, we've been concerned about our relationship with God. Now tonight we're going to continue our study that we had on Sunday, and actually I believe it's going to have to be a series, because it's going to be a series because I don't think I can take 13 pages and tweak them into one night. Now let's put on my fast track. But if I go too fast, you don't get it. The Bible said wisdom is the principal thing in wisdom, and all I get to get in. Understanding. And we've heard words about my elders, from my ministers, and it's been concerning our relationship with God as a whole. You might not tie it here, but that's how I see it. God is concerned about our relationship. Now, are you concerned? Is the question. So tonight, once we put that subject up before, this is what we're going to deal with tonight. And it's going to come back and we're going to answer. Is a 10-part questionnaire about our relationship. So the question tonight, as it bounces up, is a what kind of examination? Not anybody else. It's time for me to examine myself. Hallelujah. I want to know from my own perspective, what's my relationship like with God? So it's a self-examination to determine your relationship with God. A what kind of examination? Self-examination. With that being said, let us all stand. A self-examination to determine our relationship with God. Actually, this is given with us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Amen. Our relationship with God. What does God think about me? How does God see me? And more important than anything else, how does my life line up with the Word of God? Not anybody else, not what people have said, not what people have taught. How does my life, how does your life line up with the Word of God? Amen? Let me read 2 Corinthians verses, chapter 13. Verses 1 through 8. The Word of God says that we are to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Tonight, we're concerned about, are we serving the Lord in sincerity and in truth? Amen? Verse 1, do we all have of 2 Corinthians chapter 13? And if we don't have it, we know it's where. Verse 1 reads, "This is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. I told you before, and foretell you as if I was present the second time, and being absent now, I write to them which heretofore have sinned, and to all others, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since ye seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self." See, you have to examine who? Yourself, to see if you're in the faith. Then after you examine yourself, it says you have to prove, let proving test yourself. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Now I pray to God that ye do know he, where we're dealing with a self-examination. He said, "I pray that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is." Right? Tonight we want to do that which is honest, though we be as reprobate. Why? For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said,
"Word of the Lord."
That's blessed already. Amen. May we see it. So the concern tonight is the truth. The latter part of verse 7 says, "But that ye should do that which is honest." Honest means there's no hypocrisy. It's seeing ourselves as we really are. That's called being honest. Amen? So tonight, we want to do a self-examination. Self-examination to see what is our relationship with the Lord. Amen? And the only way that we can really examine ourselves to see our relationship with the Lord is through the Word of God. Amen? First thing said, we can do nothing against the truth. When Jesus was preaching, he preached truth. Paul said, "What is truth?" Right? What is truth? Jesus said, "I am the truth. I am the way, and I am the life. Nobody can get to the Father except they come through the truth." So tonight, you want to know, spiritually, are we honest? All right, there's an example of honest. Let's say I got 50 cents in my pocket, and somebody asked me, "Can I borrow 50 cents? I said, "Man, I don't have no money." Right, is that honest?
No.
Matter of fact, that happened yesterday, right? Justice. The guy came up to me and said, "Man, can I borrow 50 cents? I said, "Man, I don't have no money." So we got to do that for money. So I said, "Justice, can you go get the guy 50 cents out of my truck?" Right? I'm being honest. It just came back to my mind now. But if I said I don't have no money and I did have money, is that being honest? Right? Are you open? Is that honest? I could say, "Well, I don't choose at this time to give you no money," but I did not answer the question properly. So I knew I was not telling the truth. And I really didn't have it on me. It was in the truck. But it bothered me, so I said, "You know what, maybe I do have 50 cents in my truck." So I gave him the 50 cents, not so much that I had to give him 50 cents, because it was mine, I could have just said no. But I did not answer him properly. You know what I mean? We only talk about what? 50 cents. But we're dealing with honesty. Amen. And it's so important that we are honest. It's like if somebody calls your house and you say, "Tell them I'm not here." if you're not there, how can you say that I'm not here? Amen? We're talking about being honest. So you tell your kids, I'm not here. Then you get upset when your kids repeat what you have said through their actions. Is that true? We're talking about being honest. Or the employer can ask you as the employee, did you do such and such a thing? And in your mind you say, I don't want to get fired, so yes, I did it. But did you really do it? Come on, you gotta talk to me. So if you say you did something, I must be in a bad spot. We're talking about honest. Well, the only person that knows if you're really honest besides God is you. All right. I could have just said, I got 50 cents yesterday and got my truck left. But you know, I'm going to tell you something. To do this, God really did perform a miracle in that situation. Right? Because we had a mix up, so I had to take my truck that Elder Gibbs gave me to Glovisville. And as we got closer to Glovisville, I said, justice for the sake of being lived. Red, do you smell something? And he said, yes, I do smell something. So we stopped and got out. Turned me down a little bit. I don't know why I'm ringing on the game here. But we got out, and there was antifreeze all over the ground. I was like, Lord have mercy. I'm way up here in Glovisville, and this antifreeze is everywhere. So I put some more, because I always keep extra, for just in case. I put some in, and we drove to the spot. We picked up this amplifier. And when we got there, I got out and looked and opened up an antifreeze all over the top of the hood, all over the ground. I said, Lord have mercy. So I said, I can't go back on the thruway, because I came up on the thruway. So I said, I go back through the city. So we were going through the city, and we kept smelling antifreeze. So I stopped. And I poured antifreeze in it again. And I called my wife and said, I don't know if we're going to make it or if you're going to have to come get us. I told her I didn't know if I was going to make it, but when she didn't know I was saying it, she might have to come get us. Right? So we stopped, I think, twice. Well, actually, we stopped three times. So the second time we stopped, all the way back, that's after we poured it all on the ground three or four times already. Then, the second time we stopped, there was only a little drip. I said, wow, the thing must be empty. So I opened up the reservoir was full. So we went from, at that time, we were almost in Perth. Minister Simon will remember Perth. most of y'all don't know about Perth, so he ain't going there. And he'll remember, I told Justin, again, your father used to play basketball here, and I left it at that. But we at Perth, right around Perth, we checked it, and it was just a couple of drips. Then we drove from Perth all the way to Latham, and nothing. I didn't complain. I don't know how God fixed it. Listen, I'm not talking about just a little bit. We're not talking about a drip, a little ring. We're talking about the underneath the truck was covered with water. He said, Grandpa, there's a whole lot coming out. You don't have to tell me that. I can see that. Amen. But don't ask me what. But I like to think because I was honest. Over 50 cents. God fixed my problem. I was trying to figure out what it was before I go too far again. Amen. But all the way home and all today, guess what? Nothing. And I'm talking about the ground was covered, the whole top of the engine was covered, and everything was there for me. I just like to thank God bless my honesty. Amen. So for 50 cents, I got my beard fixed. Because I was honest. Well, sometimes we fail to realize that we are dishonest. Praise the Lord. Can y'all, if you don't say amen, say ouch. All right, let's keep going. Let's go to the next part. All right. So let's go to Psalm 51. We're going to read verses 6 and then skip down to 10 and 17. Then we'll talk about honest and telling the truth. What does Revelation, the 21st chapter, say about all liars? They're going to have their parts in the John 8 talks about who is the father of all lies. Satan is the father of who?
All lies.
So if you don't tell the truth, even though it's minuscule that you leave out, if you don't tell the whole truth, you're not honest. If you're not honest and tell the truth, then it is a lie. Say what? By common consent, it's a lie. Right? So if you only tell portions of the truth and you're not honest, then it is a
lie.
And if you were to interpret, I believe, this John 8:44, what that really means is that your influence is coming from the devil. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to go there. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to say, you know, say it for us because we won't get to what we're getting to. But it's important that we understand about truth and honesty. And I got to go there. Let's go to John chapter 8. Let's go to John chapter 8, and then we're going to go to Revelation 21, because I'm just going to be there. I'm going to stay the course. Like I said, this is going to be a series, because it's so important that we start seeing ourselves like God sees us. And many times we'll say, well, I really didn't mean it this way, I meant it that way. God knows our heart, and He knows if we are honest or dishonest. Amen? Alright, I think it's John 8 chapter. Some of these scriptures, they weren't in the study, so you gotta give me a moment to find exactly where we're gonna go. Alright, let's go to verse 40 of John chapter 8. Do we all have that? Now, the issue we're dealing with is whether you're being truthful or honest, or if you're telling a lie. If you tell 99.999999999999 parts of the truth, and you leave out that 0.0000001, it's not the truth, it's a
lie.
And you're not honest. Amen? So, verse 40 says, but now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and come from God. Never came I myself, but He sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Well, why is it so hard to hear His word? Ye are your father, the I'm not calling you on them. This is what Jesus said.
Yeah.
All right. But we're trying to distinguish between being truthful or being untruthful. Between being honest or telling a stretch of the truth. When you stretch the truth, it is? It's a what? It's a lie. So you say, you're your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning, and they're both not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his, for he is a liar and the
father.
He's a what?
Father
of it. So we're trying to tonight. We want to examine ourselves to see how so when I don't tell the truth, my influence is not from God. But when I don't tell the truth, then the influence is from the devil. He goes on and he says, because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe? He said, I am telling you the truth, but you do not believe. Amen. Now let's go to Revelation 21, and then we will come back to Psalms 51. Now we're trying to distinguish Amen? When you're not truthful and stretch the truth, it is a lie. And Jesus said that influence is not from God, but it is from the devil. Amen? Oh, this is my Bible. I'm going to use this. Oh, hold on. This, they got more study stuff in it than I can find. Amen. All right. So now let's go to the 21st chapter of Revelation. That might be the 21st. This is a little, they got the smallest writing in this thing. You almost need a magnifying glass. Verse 7, okay? Revelation 21, verse 7 says, he that overcometh shall inherit. He that overcometh shall inherit. What are you overcoming? Everything is a challenge. God never intends for the church to quit or give up. He intends for us to overcome. The seven churches of Asia Minor that he wrote to, from Ephesus to Pergamos to Thyatira, all of them, he all gave them all one command. He that... So, in order to overcome, there has to be challenges. God never said life would be easy. So there are things that we have to what? Overcome. He that overcometh and death shall inherit all. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, somebody said, I'm just so afraid. But the fearful and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and
all.
Is there an exclusionary exception clause in there? It said what? All liars. Right? Because when you're not honest and truthful, your influence is not from God, because God is truth. God's word is truth. So when you don't impart from truth, then you're imparting from a non-influence. It says that all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a So God hates liars. My mother used to tell us, she had a lot of stuff she used to tell us, but she used to say, a liar and a thief stinks in God's nostrils. Y'all ever heard that?
Yeah.
Y'all gotta go down south. Because right? You go down south and you say, I'm not gonna lie, because I'm not gonna be stinking up God's nostrils. Right? I'm not gonna tell a lie. We're trying to distinguish tonight between honesty and dishonesty. Now, let's go to Psalms 51, the 51st division of the book of Psalms. All liars, even though you sugarcoat the truth so that you don't look bad, if it's not the truth, it is a lie. Psalm 51, verse 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in thee. The truth has a sun on the inside, then it radiates out. So this is David the psalmist. After he has sinned with Bathsheba and killed Uriah the Hittite. You know, every time the Bible talks about Bathsheba, he never refers to as David's wife. They always say, and she, Bathsheba, the wife of. God said, you know, even though he forgave David and David married Bathsheba, he never saw her as David's wife. Isn't that something to consider? Read about it. Every time you read it, it says Bathsheba, and for the scripture to recognize David had a fault, it's not the Bathsheba, David's wife, but Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the. And God said, you know what, even though I forgave him, I still don't honor her as his wife. Because he was not honest. Amen? Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know with. Now skip down to verse 10. This is after David had miserably failed God and tried to hide it. Right. Who through the whole Bible in one night. I can even get to my notes if I'm going to stay on the course. But I need you to know what we're talking about. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. Amen. We're talking about honesty. You know, these weren't what God gave me. God gave me so much. Today I start trying to shut it down. But nevertheless, it's important that we speak what God wants us to speak. You can't get a divine promotion unless you follow the divine pattern. Is that what you heard? A lot of us are trying to get God's blessing, but we're trying to do it our way. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 12. And let's go to verse 1. Now, David is saying that God desired truth from the inward parts, not from the outward part. And let's just go here. Verse 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and they grew up together with him and with his children, and they ate of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and laid his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and spent to take of his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was, you can get pretty upset at somebody else, right? When you're not in that position, you look at them and say, man, David's anger was kindled against the man. And he said to David, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall, and he shall restore the land fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And David said to David, thou art the man. Sometimes we forget how we messed up. But God told him, he said, thou art the man. And just for your sake, if you read the 11th chapter, the prayer prior chapter, it tells how David wasn't where he was supposed to be because he was supposed to be out the war, but he stayed back. And as a result of being in the wrong place, that's why it's important that we ought to be in the right place. As a result of being in the wrong place, he looked down and saw Bathsheba, and he knew that it was another man's wife, and then he did his wrong, and then Bathsheba sent a message saying, I am with child. And David tried to cover it. Amen. It's bad when you're not honest. You're guilty, but you want to cover it. So the scripture says that David tried to cover it. He sent for Uriah to come back from fighting in the war. But Uriah was so committed to God that when David sent for him, he said, now go see your wife. Uriah said, I am committed. Talk about committed is nobody will have to tell you what's right or wrong. David said, go down to your wife. And the Bible says that when Uriah went out, he sat at the king's door and would not go any further. And David said, well, didn't I tell you to go home? And I believe David made him drunk. He said, surely if I get him drunk, he's not in his right mind, then I can influence him, trying to cover his wrong because David was not being honest. And so he tried to do it, and finally couldn't get Uriah to go back. And you know, you got to be pretty faithful. When David wrote his death sentence and then gave it to Uriah to deliver his own death sentence, Uriah was faithful. And somebody said, well, how did God allow that to happen? I can't explain that. It happened. So now David thinks he's hiding it, but how many know that when a person has contact with God, you cannot hide now that brings us back to Psalms 51. I probably won't give a lot further, but we get as far as we can. So after David acknowledged it earlier, he said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and created and then done this great transgression. And he says, Lord, just remember, I was and in sin that my mother conceived me. I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin that my mother conceived me. What does that really mean? I've read that a few times, but I can't really get into that tonight. But David really was his other brother's and sister's half-brother. Read about that. David, it talks about David and there were different sections in that relationship. Even though Jesse was his father, they had different mothers. So David is telling God, and now you got to remember, I was shaped in iniquity. And in sin did my mother. You ever read that? That's what so David is still with God, so he said, you gotta remember how I got here. But then he goes down to verse 8, he said, create in me a clean heart. Lord, I messed up. I'm acknowledging my heart ain't where it ought to be. Lord, I'm telling you that I got issues. So I'm asking you to create in me a clean heart. And then renew a right spirit. He said, Lord, most of all, cast me not away from thy. And whatever you do, don't take thy Holy Spirit from me. He said, Lord, just remember, I'm nothing more than flesh. And the scripture said many times when God looked at his people and he wanted to have judgment, he said, he remembered that they were nothing more than flesh. So again, even though he wanted to have judgment, because he looked at them, he had mercy. So David is asking God for mercy. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud. He said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth my praise. He said, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would I give it thou. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice, the blood of my aid, Lord, bring me. I don't want to be strong and wrong. Lord, break my spirit. The reason a lot of us can't be truthful and honest is because we want to allow God to break our spirit. Our spirit dominates. Even when it comes to the Word of God, we won't allow our spirit to be broken. Just like, you ever see them trying to tame those wild stallions? I know Poppy and Dio, they see things. You ever see them trying to break a stallion? The wild stallions be kicking and bucking. You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to break their spirits. They're trying to tame them. A lot of us are some stallion saints. And God is trying to break our spirits. And every time God tries to break, we kick a little more. We jump a little higher. We run. We grab all out of control because we refuse to allow our spirits to be broken. You say, well, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. He says, O Lord, and a contrite heart. Now listen, the scripture said, if you allow God to break you, if you allow your heart to be repentant, God will not God will reject that when your spirit is broken. But when you're strong and wrong and refuse to change, God cannot help you. So I want help. The scripture said, God desired truth on me. The facade of doing it on the outside, God said, you look all right. broken heart and a contrite spirit. Can we say praise the Lord? But it's hard. You know, when you've been you for so long, it's hard for you to break you. Right? That's why it's hard for them to tame them stallions. Because they've been like that. They're wild. They're out of control and they do what they want to do. The Bible calls that spirit a brutish spirit. B-R-U-T-I-S-H. Brutish. Not brutal. Brutish means that you have a beast spirit and you cannot reason properly. That is brutish. So God is trying to break our spirit, but God can't reach us because we are brutish. And we will not submit to God. Amen? Now let's go to James chapter 1. This is probably as far as we're going to get tonight. We go to James chapter 1, and we did not even get to our spiritual self-examination. So, y'all pray for us, because I can't keep y'all here till 10 o'clock. Everybody say amen. Don't keep us at 10. Hey, Lord, whatever it takes, I must be saved. Somebody said, Lord, whatever you have to do to me, I must. It's not an option. It's no secondary choice. I must be saved. Verse 16 says of James chapter 1, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, of whom is no variableness, no shadow of. It means that God is not fickle minded. God is not changing. God is a constant. God does not say one thing and do another. God does not hold you to one thing and then expect you to do another. God has no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of. We got saved through the truth. Amen. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be, let every man be swift to hear and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So when you get, you ever get angry? I don't know if you ever get angry, but I'm just saying, people get angry. When you get angry, you act out of sorts. You ever get that? All right, I'm going to test y'all. No, I'm going to test you. I don't want you to get wrath on me. But when you get mad, it's hard to do what God said. It says, when you get angry, I talk about when you get real mad, it's hard for you to do the righteousness of God. In other words, you can't act like God wants you to act because you're too angry. Amen? Amen? So it says you gotta be slow to wrath. You got to keep rule over your own spirit, because a man that does not rule over his own spirit is like a city without walls that are broken down. Thank God we read that 12 times last year in Proverbs as we read each month. Thank you, Jesus. Keep going. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, he says, well, verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay upon all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. But be ye what? Doers of the word and not. Because when you only hear the word and you don't do it, you do what? Self-deception is the worst of all deceptions. So tonight we're doing a self-examination to see what is our relationship like with God. Do we have a real, true, honest relationship, or is it an infatuation? Right? A real, true, honest relationship is a committed relationship. Nobody has to watch me if I'm committed because I am committed. But if I don't have a committed relationship, people have to keep an eye on me. Because there is no truth. I am not honest. Amen. We're talking about a true relationship. We're talking about being real. We're talking about being not just committed, but fully committed. When my relationship is right, I'm going to, let's see, the word says, I want to do this. Now, I heard the word, but now the question is, will I do the word? So if I hear the word, and I don't do the word, and I act like I'm doing it, I am deceiving. Because I'm just a hearer of the word and not a doer. Amen. Self-deception. As we examine ourselves spiritually, it's so important. What are we going to use to examine ourselves? The word of God. All right, we're going to get to that in a few minutes. Amen. So it says, verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a, it means you're looking in a mirror. So God's word is like a man that is looking, beholding his natural face in a lamp, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth. So you see yourself in the mirror. You ever wake up in the morning and look in the mirror? Y'all look at that? You ever wake up and look in the mirror and you run the other way and say, whoa, what is that? That was you. Y'all like that. Right, so you wake up and look at yourself in the mirror and you run. Now, one time I remember the GE, this is a true story. Remember the GE, they had mirrors on the elevator. I worked in the midnight shift. Man, that midnight shift was the hardest thing in the world to stay awake at. So I pushed the elevator and dozed off. When I woke up, I jumped in the street. I saw myself in the mirror.
We just want to know tonight,
don't put your name in it. Right? Because when you look into your book, everything you do is all right. But when we look into the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God, and I look at the Word of God and I said, God says to do this, but I have been doing that. But in my own, you know what, I'm kind of all right, because God, remember, I'm just a person of flesh. God understands, no, we're supposed to continue therein. Because if you don't continue therein, the Bible says you deceive yourself. Self-deception is the worst deception. Because when you have self-deception, even when you mess up, you can excuse it. You with me? Self-deception, you mess up, but you make excuses for why you messed up. Well, you can't make an excuse when you're supposed to be in the Word of God. Didn't I read that you can say nothing against the truth and you can't do anything against the truth? There are some of us that have been true to God and His Word, and because somebody told a lie on us, we got out of the truth. You with me? You were truthful. You were doing everything right, but somebody told a lie. And instead of you remaining in the truth, you want to retaliate, so you got out of the truth and got into a lie just so you could get back at them. You did not continue in the perfect law of liberty. And because you got out of the truth to get back at them, you are now deceiving yourself because you think God is going to accept that behavior. God does not accept any behavior we give Him. The only behavior to accept is that it lines up with the perfect law of. You know what? God is so good, He didn't just call it just the law of liberty. Because if it's the law of liberty, we can mess up. But He called it the what? Perfect law. So tonight, as we all stand and we examine ourselves, and God willing, we will get to the other 12 pages. We're going to get one. No, we didn't. We'll get to the other 10 pages. But as we examine ourselves tonight, as the ministers come forward, are we being truthful to ourselves? Are we deceiving ourselves? Are we looking and seeing that things are out of shape? We're still not doing what we are to do. I think there's one scripture. I believe it's in the 50th division of Psalms. The 50th division of Psalms. I'm going to read you this one scripture. So we're trying to just do what we want to do. But the psalmist, if I'm right, let me look real fast, I might be wrong. Okay, it is right. The psalmist said this way. He said, these things thou hast done, verse 21 of Psalm 50. You take it that Psalm 50, verse 21. God said, now all this stuff you've done. God said, you've come to church, you've heard the word, you've heard it preached here, you heard it preached there. He said, these things thou hast done. He said, but God said, I could have moved. I could have reacted. I could have responded the right way. He said, now you've done all of these things. You feel in these things. These things that I have done, he said, and I kept selling. And because I didn't do anything, you thought that I was in agreement with you, is what that means. God thought that I was all together, such a one end. God said, because I didn't respond to all that you were doing wrong, you thought I was just like you. He said, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. The problem is this. Now consider this, ye that what? Forget. You don't want to stay in the Word of God. You don't want to stay in a perfect law of liberty. So you hear the truth, but when you leave, you forget God. He said, let I tell you, and there be none to deliver. For whoso offered praise glorifieth me. And this is the part I want to get to. And to him that ordereth the conversation aright. You can't just keep doing what you want to do and think that God is going to accept it. He said, that conversation needs your conduct. How do you handle yourself? He said, you got to do it aright. He said, therefore I offer the Well, how do I all of my conversation to write this question? The way